A federal criminal investigation is focusing on Duke Energy and a North Carolina state environmental agency. A couple of months ago, as you may recall, a stormwater pipe ruptured and poured as much as 39,000 tons of potentially toxic carbon byproduct into the Dan River in North Carolina. North Carolina Public Radio's Jeff Tabiri reports.
The third largest coal ash spill in U.S. history has put an uncomfortable spotlight on the governor, a former Duke employee of nearly 30 years. As well as on a state environmental agency, which critics say has failed to properly enforce groundwater regulations. And a debate over environmental cleanup at hundreds of coal ash dumps around the country has been reignited. Beneath the headlines and bureaucracy are the many farmers left wondering whether the river they rely on is safe.
I've got cattle grazing on the bottoms and drinking water out of the river right now. They have ever since, and have been doing it all winter.
Larry Burnett has 400 cattle on his farm in Virginia, about 25 miles downstream from the spill site.
My biggest concern would be, first off, is it safe? And will it be safe for the next generation with all these deposits around?
He says fortunately the cows seem just fine. The rural landscape along the North Carolina-Virginia border is a collage of windy roads, small churches, and farms, cattle, dairy, soybean, wheat, and corn. They're here because of the river. So too is Duke Energy. When coal ash spilled into the water after a pipe broke, in went arsenic, selenium, and other heavy metals. The long-term environmental effects on fish, wildlife, soil, and even cows are not yet known. Will Strader is with North Carolina State University. He works with local farmers on pest, dirt, and water issues. His livelihood depends on theirs.
The biggest concerns that I had were livestock drinking from the river, irrigating with that water, having any kind of contaminants in it, applying it to the land, and also flooding of the river bottoms.
Despite a wet few weeks, no flooding has taken place since the spill. Researchers at NC State are analyzing samples of water and sediment taken from the river. Strader's colleagues want to determine how much water could safely be applied to the land.
Hopefully within the week, we'll have a statement from them on whether or not it's safe, but things are looking very positive right now.
One of those crop farmers patiently awaiting positive news is Jerry Apple. Despite the name, Apple produces corn on about 250 acres of land. He uses the river for irrigation.
If we pump something out there and it got in the land, and you know, it might cause problems a year or two down the road. And that's really kind of what we're worried about.
Apple says if the river is determined to be unsafe, he will switch this summer from corn to soybeans, which require much less water. That would cut his profits by about 25%. As farmers wait, the general feeling seems to be one of optimism, but
public perception is the great unknown. You know, how is this going to be accepted or not accepted?
Wayne Fitzpatrick is a Virginia dairy farmer and conservationist. He's involved with the Dan River Basin Association and has concerns about market prices of goods as well as tourism.
Well upstream of the spill site, we've already had anecdotal reminders that people are canceling their summer cabin reservations and their kayak rentals.
Upstream, there don't appear to be any legitimate environmental concerns because of the spill. Downstream from the spill, the North Carolina Health Department has advised people to avoid contact with the water for now. Fitzpatrick says it took just a few hours for a broken pipe and all that coal ash to change the complexion of the Dan River. He expects it will be years before the damage, real and perceived, is fixed. For NPR News, I'm Jeff Tabiri, along the Dan River.